anybody wants
sounds
to make
fun
a trip
for
to
you.
New Orleans, make a trip to New Orleans. Go to, you know,
we'll be in Panama City that weekend. But fun.
How are you going to watch the game?
On the
He's
TV.
Not.
You know they have TV in Panama City,
I was about
City,
to
right?
ask how are you going to join the instant reaction, but you don't.
Is there even electricity
reaction,
in Panama?
So. Yeah, not Panama.
You know they're going to be showing the Tampa game or the Jacksonville game.
PCB, baby.
Not where Jeff is.
We're not showing the Rams and Saints game.
You know, that Rams Saints game is going to be prime time, baby. That's fighting for the number one seed in the NFC.
Saints could be 10-0 by then. So,
what's up, Houdat Nation, and welcome to the Dome Patrol United Saints Podcast.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and in this episode, we are going to talk a little bit about the Saints-Texans game recap. We're going to do a little game preview. The Saints are in Green Bay this week, practicing with the Packers all week, so that'll be... I'd be curious to see how that manifests itself in play calling and guys playing against each other on Friday night. We'll get a big game recap, which is going to kind of also be a little bit of just our general conversation about where the team stands right now. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times. Enjoy the show. Before we get into game recap, I do want to remind everybody again about something we talked about last week. We have the Dome Patrol, New Orleans.football, UK Saints, Ninth Ward meetup party, basically big old the tailgate before the tailgate, Saturday night before in London at the Ninth Ward pub, 5 p.m. till, that's correct, right, James? Till they're open till we decide to leave. It is a combination party in partnership between the Dome Patrol Podcast and New Orleans.football. We've got word that Nick Underhill himself will be there. Who else is going to be there that we know of? Us?
We are.
James from the Dome Patrol Podcast. Yeah. Jason from the Dome Patrol Podcast. Wesley from the Dome Patrol Podcast. Me. And that's it. And Ben from the... Well, I don't know. Ben's going to be at a soccer game. I don't know if Ben's even going to make it. But
Ben will be there.
The only Dome Patrol member not there is going to be Scott. And then I would imagine that all of the New Orleans.football staff are going to be there as well. So I don't know how many people it's not like there's an RSVP, but
word has gotten out that this is the biggest happening of the weekend besides the game itself. And I believe that we're going to see some known people that we're going to meet in person for the first time that maybe are big in the Twitter verse of New Orleans football.
Mm-hmm. Surprise guest.
You mean
we call it a soiree? Is
for the Dome Patrol, stay for the New Orleans.football.
James, is there like what's a, you know, is gala or soiree? Is there a UK word for you know, getting pissed?
Piss up.
That is, we're not actually getting pissed doesn't involve piss. It's the UK.
It's we're going for a piss up.
We're gonna have a few drinks. We're gonna talk soiree gala about the Saints. We're gonna shake shindig. Some hands, take some
is
photos.
Shindig a UK term?
Yes, it is.
I have asked if I can put together a Spotify playlist of music for the event. Needless to say, halftime and Chopper Style, I'll go in on repeat.
Chopper Style, I'm fine with.
Yeah,
I am gonna put a playlist together, right. And you know, I'll let you contribute to it if you wish.
I'd like to see if we can't get one or more former players as one of our next goals. So maybe get some of your friends to work on that. Anybody knows any former players? Did Jeff Duncan RSVP?
He hasn't yet, no.
Okay. So see, folks, more reason to come.
I did.
Is it? Throw a tomato at him.
As of now, he's not coming.
Curse him out.
I did send
if he does come,
Ross
then
Jackson.
It'll be make a donation. And you will get the permission, right? You buy a tomato, you can throw it at Jeff Duncan.
We have, oh,
to sit in the Jeff Duncan booth. Oh my God, we gotta do the Jeff Duncan booth.
The Duncan booth.
Jeff, sponsored by God Dunkin' Donuts. Why'd you have to ruin my joke? I had it coming.
What'd you say?
We have him set up in the dunk tank.
Hey, there you go. Jeff.
Nice job, Jeff.
Jeff Duncan in the Dunkin' Tank, sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts.
And I did talk to Ross Jackson. He said he was going to come as well.
Hey.
And I think this could actually grow and like there could be even more people coming.
Cool. So in order to get in, you have to pick the right key and unlock the Locked On Saints for the Jeff Duncan Duncan booth sponsored by Dunkin' Donuts in order to take pictures with Nick Underhill with the New Orleans Football and then get pissed up with the Dome Patrol podcast. All right, the other thing is for those of you going to the game, so that's Saturday night. Sunday morning before the game, for 3.5 hours before the game, we want to invite everybody to join us at the Ultimate Tailgate Party. They are putting together, it's all you can drink, beer, wine, and soft drinks, all you can eat tailgate food. They've got a DJ, big screen TV, 3.5 hours before the game. You can go to James. What is it? It's the Ultimate Tailgate Party.net slash UK. Enter promo code DOMEP25, DOMEP25. You get a 25-pound discount. And like I said, all of us who are going to the game, we're going to be there. And I hope everybody else who is going to tailgate it, what it is, especially for the people traveling to London. For the game, I like it for the convenience. It's directly across the street from the stadium.
There is nothing outside the stadium at all.
It's not like New Orleans, folks.
There's going to be nothing set up outside the stadium. It's literally right by a main road. There's nothing there. So before the game, you're going to have to drink in the center of London and then travel out.
But unless you go to the ultimate
tailgate party.
Which you probably should do is go to the party Saturday night, party all night until the tailgate starts, and go to the tailgate and party there until the game starts. I think that's
James' plan.
Yeah, we'll see.
And is there a crosswalk, like across Abbey Road, that we walk
across?
That's
what I was going to ask. Like, please tell me there's like a catwalk or something.
It's literally just across the street. But we can go to Abbey Road and have a picture taken as the Dome Patrol and walking across it if you want.
Are there bobbies that'll stop traffic and let all the drunk Saints fans walk across the street?
There will be lots of bobbies around, yes.
Can we confirm there will be no hooligans at the tailgate party? We'll be safe from hooligans?
Yes, we'll be safe from hooligans.
Perfect. Everybody come, you'll be safe.
Ben's coming, so, you know.
All right, so don't forget the ultimatetailgateparty.net/UK, promo code DOMEP25. You get your 25-pound discount for the Ultimate Tailgate Party. All right, let's talk about the game recap. This is the Saints, Houston Texans.
All I remember is Saints starters won this game 7-0. Pseudo starters.
Right, even that, right? So there's your depth, right? Your backups. But your backups to your backups did not perform too great. I'm not going to even talk about them that much, except when we get to the Ian Book section. But it's better to start with the good, and let's start with Andy Dalton. A little bit better of a backup than Trevor Siemian?
Man.
Just a tad.
Upgraded just a little bit?
Just a little bit. I mean,
huge point is that Andy Dalton was basically playing with the receivers that were our starting receivers last year. And I mean, we didn't have a drive the entire year last year without Jameis that moved the team down the field like that. So, I mean, I get it. We're talking about those guys being the backups, but last year, those were our starters and Andy Dalton was perfect. And I mean, it just shows, I mean, I don't know if anybody realized this, newsflash, but quarterback play matters. And I think that it'll be great if Andy Dalton doesn't play a snap this year, but regardless, he's going to be a great sounding board for Jameis. And, you know, with those guys we've signed as receivers and with AK in there, if Andy Dalton's got to get in there and play a couple of games, we can play with anybody. We can at least score points.
Yeah. What was he? 5 for 5, 51 yards
and a touchdown. Had a scramble that should have been for a first down, but got marked 3 yards back. It was a really terrible. I realize he dove forward, but he dove for the first down. It was great to see him.
It was a really good drive. We also had a nice screen pass on that drive. So maybe with a better health on the offensive line, maybe we see more of that again this year. That'd be nice.
also McCoy saying he's 5 for 5, it was a 10 play drive too. So we also ran the ball 5 times. Like, I mean, it was, you know, 50% run, 50% pass, and just set up perfect.
Was that screen pass was the touchdown, right?
Man, yes.
Yeah. Eric McCoy
and blew somebody Pete up. Got out there first, and McCoy came and cleaned it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Andrews and Pete's always been
ruin it on the other when he was blocking. Almost did. Speaking of the offensive line, real quick, how did you feel about Cesar Ruiz and his play? Was it kind of like a some good, some bad, which makes it better than last year?
I didn't notice hear him called, so that's good.
It appears he's headed in the right direction. I mean, which is great.
Okay. All right, Ian Book. What do you? Is he one of the casualties of the first round of cuts?
I think he stays around so he can throw all the passes to our receivers, because we've been concentrating on the pass. But I mean, I don't see him making the 53-man roster this year after that.
Maybe practice squad if he's lucky.
I mean, they gave him 3.5 quarters, and I think that what they're looking for is, like, you got to show us 5 or 6 plays that is something we can build on with you, showing that you can be the backup next year or the year after. And I didn't see it. I mean, I saw high passes, bad decisions. I mean, just doesn't look like this is. And this was against, he was playing at the end of the game against some people that will not ever be in the NFL.
Yeah, it was not good. He, you know, the first interception, Juwan Johnson was wide open and he threw it 3 yards above his head.
That dude's 6'4". Like, he's a big man with a 81 inch reach or something like that. Like, they talk about Johnson's got huge, long reach. I mean, not okay to overthrow that guy.
No. So I said, I'm assuming we're all of the opinion that should we require a third quarterback this year, it's going to be Taysom Hill, right? Taysom Hill will be QB3 without being QB3 on the depth chart.
I mean, you could use Taysom as your emergency quarterback.
The emergency, and then maybe you bring if we got to that situation, then you deal with that when you cross that bridge when you get to it. All right. Trevor Penning. All indications from camp was that he was really fighting Hurst for that job. After this game, what do you think? Maybe he's not as far along as we thought he was in run, pass protection?
Yeah, I was going to say his run blocking was really good. The pass, I think he got beat on a inside swim move, a spin move, and an outside speed rush. So they beat him every way possible. Now, I don't know whether that's because he's not used to seeing or coming up against, because was it, well, which college was it? Northern Iowa?
According to some fans on Twitter who know him from his college days, this is not a surprise. His strength is in run blocking, and his weakness has always been in pass protection. Almost from the comments, which of course you're going to hear the most hyperbolic comments on Twitter, but from the comments, it almost makes you wonder, why did the Saints think that they could use, like, how were they planning on using him? Is he maybe going to be that extra lineman in a big run formation or something? I mean, probably
for this first year, he's probably going to be the swing tackle. I mean, if you look at it, Armstead wasn't ready to start his rookie year either. He only came in at the end of the year because Charles Brown sucks.
Charles Brown. Yeah.
Right,
Charles Brown.
Cause he sucks so bad. And Peyton just couldn't wait anymore. So, yeah, I mean, he's not, it doesn't appear that he's going to be a starter yet. Well, he'll get his experience on the tackle eligible plays, and eventually he'll take over. But
maybe with Doug Marrone coaching, you're going to actually be, because maybe he didn't have good coaches
the thing is, he doesn't have the technique that he needs right now. It's, you know, he's got the ability run blocking wise, but a lot of this stuff is technique. I mean, these veterans, you know, they're all fast, they're all big. The way they can get by guys is with their different techniques. So that's just something he's going to have to learn.
I will say that, I mean, I think during the game and right after the game, everybody was trashing Penning pretty hard. Over the 24 hours after the game, there was a lot of people walking back their comments that it wasn't as bad as what they originally saw. Just saying that he did have some pass rushes that he got beat on. I mean, some speed and bull, but he also had some great pass rush blocking that looked like perfect technique. So, I mean, at least we know it's there. It's just his recognition probably maybe that they need to keep working on.
Wasn't his pass blocking grade like a 28 or something, 26?
Oh, I didn't look. I mean,
who graded that?
He was the highest rated rookie that played in the preseason game week one
because of over his run 90. Block.
I don't, because but yeah, his, but his, I mean, his,
if, yeah, his run blocking was a 28,
his run blocking was 180.
But I mean, you're going to want a guy. I mean, not that he's out there and we're not talking to, I mean, okay, it's that it doesn't even matter because he's not going to be starting. So,
yeah, I think the whole, I mean, the whole plan was we're comfortable with James Hurst. If Penning is your sixth guy coming in on run plays, you're going to be able to run the ball to that left side for sure.
It was, yeah. Ethan Greenidge was the sixth offensive lineman last year, wasn't he?
Well, we don't have to worry about that anymore.
No, we don't.
Traquan Smith looks good all camp, but how much of a risk are you willing to take on the guy that blocks well, tough guy, knows the offense, but, some people would say he has a health concern issues, and then other people would say that he's inconsistent with his ability to catch the ball.
Well, he dropped a touchdown on Saturday.
That's
everybody said it was a great defensive play. It wasn't. He just straight out dropped it.
Yeah, the concern, I right now can't say that I think Traquan's going to get cut, but I think that right now with that game, I think he may have been moved to your sixth receiver if we keep six, where at least for playing time purposes, this is where somebody like Callaway or Dejon Dixon, or I mean, we may see some stuff from Rashid Shaheed. I mean, this is opening the door for other people to get on the field and have an opportunity to catch the ball. Cause I don't know how much we can, I don't know if we can cut Traquan. I mean, we've also heard a lot about Kirk Merritt, and I mean, there's Kevin White still floating out there, whatever there's just other guys there's just other guys out there that I'm not sure if Traquan's not going to do it in the preseason. I mean, I think he's got to really prove something the next 2 weeks.
There was one thing that was pretty interesting. Callaway, played early in the game and he made some good plays, and then they took his ass out. So to me, that means he's a lock. I don't think there's any question he makes the roster.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree 100%. Callaway's on the team. I wonder again if him and Traquan are, it's play time and actual passes. I mean, Callaway's caught 800 yards last year. There's a real chance he goes into this year and catches 230 yards. With this kind of, with all these players, I mean, so it's a big deal for him to be the fifth receiver versus being the sixth receiver.
Paulson Adebo
still looks great.
Camp Beast, man, as advertised. Monster. Dude, how good do you feel about the Saints secondary? How weird do you feel like saying the Saints secondary is the strength of this team?
I mean, we could go into the season with a cornerback in Lattimore who people don't throw at, and the cornerback that they are going to throw at, Adebo, is locking people down.
They're going to be like, nope, can't throw there either, and then you get sacked.
We're seriously, throughout training camp, when plays do not matter, we're playing our own offense versus our own defense, we're not throwing at Lattimore. I mean, teams are not going to throw at him. I mean, and again, the days of the island cornerback that's a full shutdown cornerback, those days are pretty much over with the way the game's played now. But Lattimore's figuring it out to where, I mean, there's a real possibility he doesn't get thrown out too much. And last year he, was second in the league in pass breakups, or first in the league in pass breakups. And it's pretty remarkable what he's putting together. But Adebo is, they're going to have to throw to somebody. You've got to throw to a receiver. And you got Adebo and CJ Gardner-Johnson covering these guys, and then Matthew and May moving around and, just kind of floating around to pick off passes, and you don't know who they're covering.
It reminds me of, like, you're basically like walking into a hornet's nest.
Reminds me of the time I saw this 60-year-old man.
It's like a hornet. I mean, it's just, like they're flying all around. Like they're everywhere. They're everywhere. You're not going to be able to get a piece of field where one of those guys isn't there.
Well, and our defense has been spectacular. Our defense has been spectacular for a few years now and great and top 10 as far as points. We have not been getting turnovers the last few years. This is, I mean, you've got to throw the ball in this NFL.
Yeah.
These cornerbacks can, and this whole defensive back team, I mean, they look like they're built around turnovers. We've seen Adebo make crazy one-handed interceptions. And I mean, we see Matthew and May have made careers.
How much better is the secondary going to make the linebackers even?
Well, because I think the secondary is going to be the linebackers. PJ Williams, I think, is going to play as a linebacker. He's big this year. And Don't be surprised if Justin Evans is in there kind of looking like in a linebacker role, but
Saints are technically a safety. Defense.
I mean, you're going to see DeMario and seven defensive backs. I mean, right. Or six defensive backs. I mean, you're going to see some crazy stuff like that. And I don't know if you can't run the ball, I mean, if those guys can attack the line and run the ball, you can't throw against that.
If anything, I think it's going to help the defensive linemen get sacks. You know, you're going to have a lot of coverage sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Because quarterback's not going to know where to go with the ball.
Wow. What about DeMarcus Fields? Would you say he had like a great, good game, bad game? I mean, he played a lot. He got thrown on a lot. He had the interception, I think. But he also looked like he kind of blew up some coverage a little bit every now and then. Did now not pay attention to DeMarcus Fields that much?
I did not pay attention to DeMarcus Fields. Sorry.
When you just look back and like every big play or successful play that Houston had, DeMarcus Fields was usually the guy in coverage. So, granted, he's a rookie. He's a rookie, and that's fine, but just something to notice.
I mean, are you concerned at all that we didn't really get a ton of pressure? I mean, I know Cam didn't play, Davenport didn't play.
Peyton Turner played a whole lot of this game. And didn't like sniff the quarterback. And that's was concerning because all we've heard is that he looked like a first round draft pick from this training camp.
Yeah. Was he up against Ruiz and camp?
I'm about to fall out my chair again.
Oh, you mean about to say that? Jason, I'm saying the same things all day. All right. Last week, before we got into the game, you guys were saying all the things that you were looking forward to about this game. So I wanted to check in on a couple of those. One of them was who are the running backs behind Kamara and how were they going to perform? You got Dwayne Washington, Tony Jones Jr., Ozigbo. Who did you like? Who did you not like?
They all kind of had their moments. I mean, I was really looking forward to Abram Smith, and he was doing well until he fumbled inside five. It's like,
The fumble was a real downer for him because he was doing okay before the fumble, but the fumbles are what's going to stick in the mind.
Well, they're important.
Yeah. I mean, I think that this definitely, Dwayne Washington is Dwayne Washington. I think I've seen him so much that I don't really still, no matter what he does in the preseason, I'm not going to call him our third running back. He is a special teams player that, you know, also can line up and do some running back stuff and get late in the game to give somebody a break if we want Kamara to have rest. I think that this competition going on looks like it's Tony Jones Jr. versus Abram Smith to make the team. And Tony Jones Jr. scares me because last year he was amazing in the preseason and looked like he was, you know, a NFL quality running back. And then during the season, he definitely looked like he did not belong out there. He couldn't make decisions, couldn't cut, wasn't that powerful, didn't break tackles. So it's kind of scary with him. I mean, now again, we didn't have a real training camp last year in preseason, so maybe this is Tony Jones' real first shot at it. I mean, neither one of them can afford to fumble the ball in the preseason. I think there's going to be a pretty good battle between the two of them, and that'll be a good third string running back that we hope never plays.
Right. Have the Saints brought any running backs in today?
No, and I think that still my hope is that we bring in a free agent, or we may even there's some sort of trade that makes sense. Apparently what we've heard is that the Saints have a lot of interesting interior offensive line depth that could be traded on. And we have some cornerback defensive back depth that could be used for trades. Mm. And we need, you know, running backs and maybe even a linebacker or something like that. Those are some positions where we could use some more depth. So if our third stringer can be traded for somebody else's third stringer, that kind of seems to work out.
If it's mutually beneficial. Sure. All right. Another question somebody wanted to watch to see, what does Malcolm Brown have?
And
he's got cut.
Cut before the game.
I'll tell you what he doesn't have, a job.
A team.
Zach Bond. I think Wesley, did you mention Zach Bond maybe, or somebody did, talking about if Werner is out, who's going to step up?
Well, Bond didn't even play in this game, which is concerning for somebody that's been considered to be a bubble player the whole time. I mean, I'm not sure if Bond's the guy, but I'll tell you who had a huge game was Chase Hansen. He didn't even play. He's dealt with injuries for 2 years, didn't play last year, apparently worked out really hard to get healthy and all that. And he was a heat-seeking missile and made an actually good defensive play against a pass, too. I mean, Chase Hansen
stock went up,
but again, Hansen. I mean, Zach Bond had a game last year that maybe is the greatest game I've ever seen from a defensive player in the preseason. And then we never saw anything from him again. Like Zach Bond in the first preseason game looked like, I mean, the next coming of, I don't know, DeMario, maybe.
Sam Mills. Was,
not Sam Mills Jr. For sure.
All right. Will Lutz.
31 of 32 on field goals. The one that he missed, he turned right around and kicked it through the uprights right after. Will Lutz is back. That's a couple of wins. I mean, there's two or three wins right there.
That's a Tennessee win, I'll tell you that.
My goodness.
Yes.
It's a win against the Jets and a win against Tennessee for sure. Both of those games, if we have a field goal kicker that Sean Payton trusts over 23 yards, they're both wins easily.
What about the tight ends? Did you see anything from tight ends that gives you any insight about anything, or it just wasn't enough, or it wasn't anything to write home about?
Were there any tight ends that caught a ball?
That's what I'm looking at.
Did Troutman have a catch?
Troutman 1 for 4, so they didn't really throw at the tight ends.
But again, that would have been mainly with Book at QB, wouldn't it? Not when Dalton was.
To me, the two biggest things about tight end that meant the most to me, Adam Troutman only played 15% of the plays. So he's your locked-in starter. No matter what, that's your starting tight end. They're not getting him out there to get injured. They don't know who they trust beyond him. My other big thing that I thought was very telling, it was Nick Vinette, our most veteran player, played 44% of the offensive snaps. I now don't think Nick Vinette makes the team. I think they were putting him out there, giving him every opportunity to shine, does it really, or show something or make a big play.
But if Book couldn't get the ball to him or couldn't read to him, is right, that his
right,
fault?
Right. But I don't, but that didn't, that maybe didn't help him, but it, I mean, that maybe didn't hurt him, but it also didn't do anything to help him. They put him out there to do something. I think that's very telling when your most veteran tight end played by far the most snaps. That's them saying, like, and you got to show us what you have left.
And didn't make the box score.
Yeah. Here's every opportunity to show
us. Oh, wait. No, he had 1 for 6. Yeah. 1 catch, 6 yards. I think they'd play him again Friday night with either Winston or Andy Dalton, probably, just to give him, like, basically, I don't think he gets cut this week. If he's going to get cut, it'll be next week or the week after.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they hang around just because we don't have tight end depth.
Yeah. That's it for cuts now until after the third preseason game.
We dropped down to, we got to cut 15 guys for Tuesday. So we're recording this on a Monday. So 15 guys tomorrow. And then the following week, I think it's only 5 or.
It's 5 this week, five, isn't guys. It? We did our 5 cuts. Cut. Yeah, we did our 5 cuts earlier on.
So you dropped to.
There were 5 people cut today.
We cut TJ Carter, Jack Kerner, Scott Patchen, John Parker Ramo, and surprisingly, Aesop Winston Jr., who actually looked like he was one of those receivers that could possibly upset somebody and be at the end of the depth chart or make the practice squad for sure.
Okay.
Then we also waived Jordan Brown and Isaiah Pryor. Then we signed Nick Lalos and John Bostic.
Lalos,
the linebacker.
Lalo did it.
If Bostic makes the team, apparently his nickname is gonna Mr. Boom.
Is that for what he did to Andy Dalton?
No,
the cheap shot on Andy Dalton when Andy Dalton played for Dallas. Did y'all see that clip?
I did.
Yes. Yep.
It was a terrible, like, I thought he killed Andy Dalton.
Dalton was sliding and that dude came in and just, I mean,
and Andy Dalton was unconscious before his head hit the floor.
No, it's because his last name is Bostic.
We did also sign Jahlil Johnson back.
But I also saw some Washington fans saying that good luck with Bostic. I don't get the Bostic Boom joke.
Mr. Boom Bostic.
She called me Mr. Boom Bostic. Tell me fantastic. Touch me on me box. She says I'm Mr. Rose.
All right. Well, anyway, Mr. Boom Bostic probably ain't playing on this football team.
Well, he has recorded over 100 tackles twice in a season in his year.
But I've heard
and has two
I've
more years Washington of more than 80 tackles.
Good riddance. So,
I mean, his last full season was Washington 2020. Washington had a really good defense in 2020. So let's not get crazy. And his last full year, he was 2020. He intercepted a pass, had three sacks, had eight quarterback pressures, and six tackles for loss, along with 118 tackles. He was a very big part of what was a really good defense that had no offense. So it's not crazy to think the guy can play football.
You know, I say that, but the other thing that the Washington fans were saying is that he can't cover for shit. Sure. As I think about it, we don't need him to cover shit.
No,
we got coverage. That's fine. And maybe that was their problem, is they tried to use him in a way that they should. He doesn't play to his strengths.
This is a guy who didn't have a job at 10 a.m. on August 15th. So he's not, I mean, necessarily an all
he's pro. Not the Mario Davis.
I mean, I'm not trying to say, but the last time he was healthy, like last year, he tore a pectoral muscle. That's why he's not been in the league. He only played four games. But his last season, he was part of a respected defense that drug their team into the playoffs, kicking and screaming, because they had some goofy quarterbacks that year. Okay. So, I mean, maybe. So
you heard it here first. Bostic, sack leader.
He'll be with the last cut.
On the practice squad. All right. Where does that take us? Anything else on the game itself that y'all wanted to bring up that I didn't let you
just
talk
on
about?
That linebacker thing, Eric Wilson. And I mean, we talked about Chase Hansen. Eric Wilson played well too. It's a veteran guy that was with the 49ers for years, at least with a well-coached defensive team. So he's at least been getting mental reps and learning the game. And he played quite well too. So there's some, a couple of positive things to see from later in the game. Just none of it was for me in book.
Literally nothing.
All right. So then the other piece of news, if you want to call it news, is the NFL announced their top 100 players. It's a highly subjective list, right? I think one thing to keep in mind before you get upset about where they put any of the Saints players is that this is not based on how much potential or how talented a player is. I think it's based on, there is an element of like the statistics that they did put and or will be predicted to put on the field for good or for bad. So like a player you might look at it like a Kamara, who was ranked 14 last year, is bumped all the way down to 51, probably because they don't expect him to, not saying that he's lost anything talent wise but that the Saints just aren't going to get as much production out of him this year.
It's voted for by NFL players, and NFL players are idiots.
Well, there's that too. So it's a popularity contest. So the 89th most popular guy in the NFL, that's what it is. It's a popularity contest, is Marshawn Lattimore. And he was ranked number 86 last year. He's number 89 now.
I can't wait to see which cornerbacks are above him in the rankings, because, that's not right.
I mean, we're talking about Lattimore. I think when the things came out a couple months ago, he was on most lists the number two cornerback behind Jalen Ramsey. I think the lowest you can find him is 4 and 5. He had the most pass breakups in the league last year. He's got the most forced incompletions to 2016. There are not 88 players in the league better than Marshawn Lattimore. I'll just go ahead and say that right now.
No.
Including the other Saints defensive players that are above him on this list are not better than Marshawn Lattimore. There's other things I think that are weird and debatable, and you're like, oh, this, and this one is the one that really sticks out. There's other ones, like I would change the order of them, but I this was a weird one, because there was just a list a couple months ago where he's the number two cornerback in football, but he's nine players. It's just,
you know, I don't put much into these lists, but I think almost since it is voted on by other players, I'd rather our guys be ranked low to maybe add some fuel to our fire a little bit. You know, we give them some little something to prove, little chip on their shoulder. And I don't mind flying under the radar at all. I'd rather be not targeted, you know, by other teams or whatever, than going into the season like that. Like, you know, just a little something to prove.
So, which players were – there was five – was it five players?
Yeah, you got DeMario Davis at 74, Tyrann Mathieu at 70, Cam Jordan at 69, and Kamara at 51. All of them were ranked higher – like ranked better last year.
So
they've all slipped down.
There aren't going to be any more Saints players on the list this year then? Am I missing somebody?
I wouldn't expect. Who are you going to put in front of
Michael Thomas is the only one that may pop up there.
Ramchek.
Not after last year.
No, but then Michael Thomas won't be there either, will he? Because he didn't play.
He didn't play.
We'll see.
And Jameis won't be there, so.
No.
That's what I just said.
No, I think Michael Thomas ends up on the
Adebo. Top. What if Adebo slides in at like 48?
It's just a weird thing when you're talking about Lattimore, who plays without safety help. Our safety, Marcus Williams, has been babysitting the other side of the field for his career. Lattimore has the most pass breakups since he entered the NFL, and he led the league last year in pass deflections with 19, and he's 89th on the list. It's just a strange.
And he only had one hand for
it's like one plus one equals potato. Well, that's why he has so many deflections instead of interceptions.
Because he can't catch.
He had no choice but to club it.
Yeah. I think we need to consign the NFL's top 100 list to the same place that power rankings go. And mock
or the
drafts.
Madden points rating, sure. Whatever that
Madden. The Madden ratings, yeah.
Oh, these are all just so fucking stupid.
And so they drive this freaking conversation about from the
season's
the
here. We don't need to drive this conversation anymore. Well, the season's here.
I understand, well, but people make a big deal about it.
The other little strange thing
players
is
get money for this.
It's great if Lattimore wants to be 89th, but he was 86th last year, and last year he had a spectacular season, at least ranking the same as last year. How did he get lower on the list? I mean, to be fair, let's point of reference on this list. Derek Carr was number 65.
And
the very
so
average quarterback of the Raiders.
Thing is ridiculous. Okay, got it. Okay, let's talk about this Friday night's game against Green Bay and the game preview. All right, just like last week, what are you looking for?
Who's going to play?
Less Ian Book and more Jameis Winston.
No injuries.
No injuries. I want to see how many fights Penny's going to get into this week at practicing against Green Bay. That should be interesting.
I mean, but, do you think Michael Thomas plays this week?
No.
I think... Oh.
Wait, this week, I think a lot of these guys practice and team drills against the scrimmages and things. Friday night, I don't think we see him. I think we see him against Jaire Alexander and all this stuff during the week, and we see highlight and videos of that. I don't know if he actually plays in the game.
Maybe it'll depend on, do you think Jameis plays?
I think if Jameis is healthy, I think Jameis needs to play.
I think he might do two drives maybe before Andy Dalton comes in for a bit of a longer stint this time.
I'd like to see exactly what you said. Two drives out of Jameis. Let Andy Dalton play the rest of the half. Unless he just, again, if he comes out and goes two drives and goes 11 for 11, get him out of the damn game too. Nothing. I mean, if Jameis comes in, is like, back and forth, maybe throw him in there for a third drive just to, you know, keep him getting used to the timing. But he comes in and looks even better than average. Like, get him out of the damn game. Let Andy Dalton get in there. Let him look good. Get him out of the damn game. And then let's go to KJ Costello.
I mean, you saw the starters for one drive Saturday night, didn't you? The offensive and defensive starters for one drive. You're going to see them.
We missed half of our defensive starters and offensive.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, we did. But, you know, you'd like to think that you're going to see that level of players for a little bit longer, maybe the first quarter. I don't know. You know, when they're going against Aaron, they're going to be going against, well, will Aaron Rodgers play? I would imagine that he will play. I was watching PFT before and they were not saying good things about Jordan Love from his performance.
I don't think Rodgers is going to play
this week.
No.
No need.
No. Everybody knows he's a douchebag. So
yeah, to be fair, Drew didn't play in preseason.
Right.
Often did he. So, but yeah, just... I want to see the defense dominate like they did on the first drive because it was a very, very quick three and out, wasn't it? Very, very quick.
Remember how Jameis does play against the Packers or how he did in his last game. I mean, we completely dominated them.
We did all right. So, yeah, I mean, other than that, just happy to watch a little football again. You know, that was kind of nice. Having to play the waiting game all day Saturday kind of sucked, even though it's preseason, but... Hey, it's Saints football on the screen. Got to watch Joel Myers and Jonathan Vilma and Stinchcomb. So that's always always fun in the preseason.
Sadly, on NFL Game Pass, we had the Texans commentator over here, and they
sounded like there were more Saints fans there than Houston's fans.
Houston's. I felt like they were Florida Gators fans. They were all over Damian Pierce, who me and James both like picked to be a draft pick in the fifth round for the Saints a lot. We in our mocks that Jeff was really into, we picked Damian Pierce a lot. He looked fantastic.
Yeah, he looked averaged 9.8 yards per carry, didn't he? That's Kamara rookie season numbers. That is.
Is he playing against the Saints third string? Well,
that's not. They were very excited about him. They were huge, huge Damian Pierce fans.
Right.
To be fair, they don't have a lot to be excited about, so that kind of. You know.
What else y'all got for final thoughts for this week?
Is the game definitely Friday night, not Saturday night? By the way.
Friday night, 7 p.m.
It is Friday night.
Our time. Perfect. To be 1 a.m.
It might be Saturday morning.
Yay, another 1 o'clock in the morning.
You going to stay up for this one too?
I will, because it's Friday night, yeah.
There you go.
1 a.m. Brexit time.
Yeah.
I'll say non-Saints related kind of final thought. Just we'll at least say something about Miles Brennan leaving LSU, leaving football totally, not just LSU. It kind of sucks because Miles Brennan, like, was set to be our starting quarterback. And then a guy named Joe Burrow, came in and went on to have the greatest football season ever for a college quarterback. And then he was set to start the next year and had three of the best games ever by a quarterback. He was averaging 370 yards per game. Was actually on pace through three games to break Burrow's records at LSU. Had a super weird injury where he tore an abdominal and oblique muscle, where it was such a crazy injury that the doctors wanted to name the surgery after Miles Brennan because it's the first time this surgery's been done. Comes back and the next year catches a flip-flop on a dock while fishing and breaks his arm and misses all of last year. Starts to transfer out. Brian Kelly tucks him to return. He comes back and, again, the last time we saw him, he was one of the best quarterbacks in college football. And then he finds out today or sometime in the last few days, he's not going to be the starter and just decides football's not for him anymore. It's a tough, tough story, especially when he did get a chance to play. He played amazing. It's one thing to not fulfill the dreams, but he actually did for three games. And if he had a full season, no telling what could have gone different, but he is from the Brennan family. So he's Louisiana royalty. He got engaged on the LSU football field at center at the 50 yard line. I mean, it's a guy that wanted to be at LSU and wanted to be our quarterback.
That, don't you?
I mean, my goodness. And now he just, completely walks away from football.
So, he's earned some decent NIL money before he quit though, didn't he?
He did. He's got some Raising Cane's money along with some others that money that he does not have to return. Cause that's what NIL is. Whether you transfer or quit, you keep it. So we don't know how much that is. I'm sure it's significant. But still, I mean, this is a guy that probably went into this last offseason going, I'm going to win this starting job. We're going to turn LSU around. I'm going to get drafted in the third round. I'm going to be on an NFL team in a couple of years. I mean, I'm sure he had that in his head. And that would have made sense because his last three games were great.
See, why wouldn't he walk away? Right? Why wouldn't he walk away from the team and go somewhere else?
I don't think he can transfer at this point. And his whole purpose was he wanted to play at LSU. So
just Miles Brennan.
He was ready to leave and he got talked into staying. So I wouldn't say that he wanted to play for LSU as much, but
he wasn't getting a lot of offers from big schools. Like if he would have gone somewhere else, it would have been to a lower school.
I thought he was pretty highly recruited coming out of Mississippi.
Yeah, he was, but he's got injuries. I mean, it's a 6 year.
Now he would have had to play those.
The big school that wanted last year, I think Southern Miss, who's terrible, wanted him, and Southern Alabama wanted him. Or South Alabama. He wasn't going to go play at, A&M or something like that.
And I just think his heart probably wasn't fully in it. He never gave up. He played through all the injuries and things like that. But I don't think his number one thing in life was to play football. And he saw he was going to be third string and just decided to, at this point, to walk away. So I don't. Anybody who is calling him a quitter or anything like that, go go do something else with your life. You know, I mean, seriously, I mean, the dude's,
thank you for censoring yourself.
It's a 6 year and, you know, and he's been through a lot. So I respect the guy 100%.
So that's my final thought. Thanks, Scott.
Sorry.
My final thought is not sports related. Tonight will be the final episode of one of the greatest shows ever, Better Call Saul. It's exciting that I get to watch it tonight, but then it's sad because there's no more Saul. So this is really the end of
the end of everything. Yours just like Scott stole Wesley's. This is the end of the Breaking Bad ever.
It's just kind of wild when they announced it. You're like, huh? Can that really fill a show? But faith in these creators. I mean, they were able to craft a great story, a great backstory. I mean,
one thing I will say, it's interesting that about that show is the Saul stuff. There was a gradual part of Saul, but this wasn't a show about Saul only. But this is their Jimmy. This was a show as much about Gus Fring and Mike.
Well, and it was everybody in that too.
Like, all of that stuff.
You know, when they announced it, they kind of thought they'd get to Saul earlier on, and just they didn't. We spent a lot more time with Jimmy, I think, than their creators originally thought. I mean,
thought it was going to be a comedy too, more than this, the way it where it's gone.
And it's, man, just some of the great characters. I mean, Chuck, man, what a character.
Now, I hope not to. Well, and also now, what we know now, I reflect back on Howard was a great character too. I mean, with what all he's ended up meaning to the show. Yeah. I hope I don't regret this, and I have faith that I won't regret this. There's other shows over years I've been nervous going into the last couple episodes or the last episode of, please don't screw this up. I have, whatever they do, there's multiple ways they can go. I don't think they're going to screw it up no matter what. I see lots of different ways this again, and I'm going to enjoy them all. But I really think that over this last half season, this has surpassed Breaking Bad, and I think it is possibly the greatest show that's ever been put on TV. Like, it is fantastic. And the middle of last season, I was like, eh, it's a good show. I'm not sure where they're going. They've knocked it out of the park.
I think it's a tragedy, and that it's not going to end well for him, just like Breaking Bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's the like same series. Let's not
you go
let's
bad,
not
right? forget, you break like, bad, and right. you're not going to get away with it. The bad guy's not going to win, right?
I for
not
sure. A good guy. I for sure got lost in the, oh, he's kind of funny, and like these deals he's doing, that's kind of cool. Like, and forget that, like, he's been a pretty terrible person. And I think we're starting to be reminded that he's not a good guy, and sometimes bad things happen to bad people.
Like, when you read the Kim's confession, like, when you hear it the way it was read, it's like,
but spoiler alert.
It was, man, hey, greatest thing ever that they didn't have that voiced over, because you reading it is way more impactful than if you just heard her saying it. Like, again, just great show writing, great directing. Just that was like incredible the way they have you have to read it and figure it out, like what's going on, what's on that page.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
Good show. Almost as well written as Pete Carmichael's offensive game plan. James, you have any?
Are you calling Better Call Saul a retread of Breaking Bad?
And yet you still loved it.
If we're going to talk about TV shows, have we not got the next Disney Plus Marvel show starting this week?
On the 18th.
She-Hulk on the 18th.
Did y'all see that they made a Tinder profile for her?
I did see that. It's kind of funny.
Jeff, aren't you married?
Yep. Apparently, though, it's not the most original thing, because Deadpool had that. Yeah. They did that with Deadpool years ago. So
that's this week.
Don't worry about spoilers with She-Hulk, because I'll never watch an episode of it.
It doesn't look good.
It looks. I don't think it looks too bad. I don't think it looks too bad.
I think
it can't be any worse than Ms. Marvel.
Well, I didn't watch that either. And it sounds like I made the right choice.
No, it was enjoyable. Sorry, I know it's not meant for you guys probably, but it was a good show. I mean,
good whatever. Then, right? I'm not saying it shouldn't exist, but I am saying like
it was enjoyable if you enjoy something like Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yeah, I think we finally reached a point where, you know, Marvel's stuff that they're putting out has become like everything used to be required, right? You were going to watch every single thing they put out, no matter what. I think we finally reached a point where it's kind of like optional.
Well,
I don't know if the end
credit scene probably makes the whole series not. It makes it required watching.
YouTube
otherwise,
and save myself 8 hours of
Okay, yeah, possibly, go for it.
Possibly, yeah. Anyway, that was my final thought.
She-Hulk. All right. I will watch the first episode just to see. But it is, yeah, it kind of looks, eh. It looks like it's
you're already going in with a bad attitude.
It looks
you're
like already... it's trying too hard. That's just how it feels on the trailers.
Wesley, if you had to watch this or the Star Wars cartoons, which one would you watch?
Oh, She-Hulk.
For sure. There you go. Okay. Just curious.
I'm with you. Same.
Assholes.
All right. That's all. I get so upset. All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We'll thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. The Dome Patrol podcast, Saints UK, New Orleans football party meetup in London at the Ninth Ward the Saturday night before the Saints play the Vikings in London. Also, the Dome Patrol podcast, the ultimate tailgate experience.net/UK. Enter promo code DOMEP22 to get your 25-pound discount.
25.
What'd I say?
22.
Ah, because it feels like it's 2022. So, are you sure?
You sure that's not the currency conversion?
Yeah, Dome P25, all that stuff. Follow us on Facebook. Look for Dome Patrol Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK. And if you want to listen to us the old-fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, book donkeys.
Bye-bye, shindig donkeys.
Good night, Houdat Nation.
And I got a really big team, and they need some really big rings. They need some really nice things. Better be coming with no strings. Better be coming with no strings. We need some really nice things. We need some really big rings. I got a really big